ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय As we are gathered here at the capital of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, I thought to speak something about Sri in extended terms. Sri means Lakshmi, Radha, in the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the predominated moiety of the Absolute Truth. Moiety means something like half, but indivisible. You can't have one without the other. This is the Sri Sampradaya originating from Lakshmi. Actually, all these Sampradayas, and everything that is, originates from Narayana, Krishna. But this, just like we say, we're in the Brahma, Madhva, Gaurya Vaishnava Sampradaya, because our original progenitor is Brahma, but then he received knowledge from Krishna. So it's ultimately, it's Krishnang Vande Jagat Guru. Krishna is the guru of everyone. But this sampradaya is received through the agency of Sri Lakshmi, who is also worshipped within that sampradaya, not only as guru, but as an intrinsic object of worship. The Guru is worshipped as the representative of Sri Hari, and Sri is worshipped as the female counterpart of the original male or Purush, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purushang Paramam Divyam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna recommends to meditate upon the Paramam Purusham Divyam, the Supreme Divine Person, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, as we all very well know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or at least theoretically, that not knowing this is the cause of all our problems. People come, I have a problem. The problem is that you don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Person. Yeah, I know that, but my wife said this, and my son ran away, and this. No, that's not the real problem. The problem is that we don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. That's the root cause of all problems, in comparison with which all other problems, they're just symptomatic and insignificant. But to understand Krishna fully, we have to understand that he's Sri Krishna. He's not alone. Sri Krishna means Krishna with Radha, because the Supreme Truth is complete, not only male. Radha Krishna Pranayavikriti Haladinir Shakti Rasmad Ekatmana Vapi Bhuvi Pura Beda Apipavi pura bheda gato to, bheda deham gato to. Yeah, so these Radha and Krishna are one, but they're divided. Apparently divided. They're one entity, in as much as they are inseparable. They are supreme, but the emphasis is always given on, at least the emphasis is generally given on Krishna, or in the Sri Sampradaya on Narayana, In philosophically, the emphasis is given on Narayana. And in worship, when one comes to the higher stage in Sri Sampradaya or Gaurīya Sampradaya, then the worship, those who are on a very high stage, their worship will direct or deflect. Not exactly deflect, but will emphasize more on Sri, on the female principle, because she, at that stage there's no real because, it's not so much a matter of logic, but she is very dear to Krishna. By pleasing her, Krishna is pleased. And she helps us to come to Krishna. So Krishna is the center, but Radha is right there in the center also. And because she dominates him by her love, in one sense she can understood to be greater even than him. So this is the highest understanding. In this material world, everyone's also worshipping the goddess. Even the atheists, they may be the biggest worshippers of the goddess, because here the goddess is Durga. Durga means difficult to go, so difficult to get out of. Durga means a fort. So it's difficult to get, if you're trapped in a, if you're locked up, difficult to get out. And also Durga means difficult to go, difficult to do anything. We're forced to move all the time in this world. Gachatiti jagat. Jagat means it's always moving, it's always changing, but it's always difficult. So the atheists, they deny the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Person, the Supreme Male, but they come unknown to themselves, they're worshipping matter. They put emphasis on matter. So indirectly they're worshippers of the goddess. And Durga herself is the manifestation within this material world of Sri, of Lakshmi. She's an expansion of Lakshmi. So materialistic people worship her. Sri is the Shakti of Narayana, Krishna. They're inseparable. Shakti, Shakti Matara Bheda. The energy and the energetic are inseparable. There's no energy without a source of energy. And there's no meaning to being the source of energy unless there's energy. So they coexist. The energy that inspires this material world is sexual impulse. The energy that inspires the spiritual world is pure love. In pure love, the thought is how to serve for the pleasure of the other. In sexual, in mundane sexual attraction, there is how can I exploit the other for my own enjoyment. So it's a perverted reflection. But it's all based on the male-female principle. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, they bring to perfection that which is latent in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, the emphasis on Sri. She's so dear to Narayana, so we should try to please her. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this to the fullest extent by describing and experiencing and helping others to experience how the whole pleasure of the spiritual world is based on the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, especially in the highest level, the Golok Vrindavan. That Krishna, he's the supreme male, and he's enjoying exchanges with the supreme female. They have different natures, which are complementary, but often the complementariness appears to be crooked. That's not in Vaikuntha. The crookedness is hardly apparent. There's not much crookedness. It's just complementariness. But in Vrindavan pastimes, it's crookedness. That's stated in the, I believe, Ujjvala Nilamani, that's stated in, quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Ahare Eva Gater Prema. The path of love is crooked like a snake. It's not straightforward. That's where the fun comes from. That's why Radha Krishna Leela is considered the best. It's unpredictable. And it often seems back to front. Krishna, he enjoys the Vedic hymns, but he enjoys more being chastised by his intimate lovers. So this is Krishna enjoying the supreme male, enjoying with the supreme female. That is worshipable. In this material world, the exchange between male and female can also be worshipable at the level of morality. That if man and female, they unite in marriage according to religious principles, and they live together according to religious principles, peacefully, raise children and live as respectable citizens, with their life, lived according to religious principles and worshipping God, that's considered very respectable, very good. But it's also, without understanding the higher beyond this material world, it's also a cause of bondage in this material world. If one lives a very respectable life in this material world according to the principles of dharma, but he doesn't transcend that, he thinks that this is good enough for me, then he's shackled in this material world. This verse, Pungsastri Amituni Bhavametam Tayoraho Hridya Grantimahuhu Ato Griha Kshetram Sutapta Vitair Janasya Moho Yamahamameti. This verse, which states that the basic principle of material existence is attraction between male and female, and they get tied together in a knot. In marriage, in the marriage ceremony, the cloth is tied as a knot, but actually their hearts are getting tied together. And then one becomes involved with house, property, my country, money, children, family, society, and in this way one becomes entangled in the illusion, in thinking of I and mine in relation to the body. Now this applies not only to very sinful people, but it applies to very pious people also. They may be very pious, but dharmasva nushtita pungsang vishvaksena katasu yaha nodpadi yadiratim shrama evahi kevala. They may be very pious and very respectable, but if for all their living a very good life, husband and wife together, unless they gain attraction, for all their religious activities, unless they gain attraction for hearing about Krishna, then we can say, well, they did it, that's all. Shrama eva hi kevala. Of course, pious life is always recommended above impious life, but it's not in and of itself the ultimate goal. Srimad Bhagavatam points us toward this. Ramanuja points us toward this. Krishna points us toward this. Parastas matu bhava nyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati. He points us beyond this material world. Everything here is created, maintained and destroyed again and again, but beyond is the spiritual world where everything is eternal. So they point us there. But we are entangled here in the mundane male-female attraction. So that has to be overcome if we are to actually enter into the spiritual world. We have to, this male-female principle has to be understood very carefully. It's a very, it's an immense power. The whole world is running on it. There's the verse in Bhagavad Gita, many of you know that, Indriyani Pranyahur Indriyebhya Parang Manaha Manasastu Parabuddhya Yo Buddhe Paratastu Saha. Means that there is the sensual platform, the mental platform, the intellectual platform, and above that is Saha, another platform. So Srila Prabhupada, he translates this following Baladev Vidyabhushan as, that means that the Atma, the soul, is above the mind, the senses, and the intellect. But Ramanuja translates, which is, it's not that one is right and one is wrong, they both are valid understandings, that karma, material desire, of which the most strong is the attraction between male and female, that is stronger, that overcomes the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. It's a very, very powerful force. Now, understanding properly what is the male-female relationship, that in itself will bring us to the perfection of life. As long as we're trying to enjoy in this world, either as a male or as a female, then we can never enter into the actual dealings, male and female, in the spiritual world. The impersonalists, they want to nullify everything. But the whole basis of existence is the male-female principle. That's true in the material world, it's true in the spiritual world also. The impersonalists, they see that this male-female attraction in the material world, it's the cause of bondage. And therefore they say, well, it's just all illusion. Well, that's a fact, but the illusion is based on the reality. They don't see the reality. They think that reality simply means negation. But negation of the unwanted or the negative does not mean that there should be negation of the positive. So, to properly understand this, we have to look up and see. There is the Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana, Sita Ram. In this material world also, I was mentioning atheists, ultimately they're worshipping the goddess. And then there are worshippers of Durga. But they themselves, they make a deity of Durga, showing her killing the demon. And they don't understand, that's me. That I get that, that's what I get from her too. Her trident represents the three modes of material nature, or the three categories of suffering. The adhyatmika klesh, adhibhautik klesh, adhidaivik klesh, all categories of suffering. She prongs the demons with this. And who is the demon? The worshippers. They may think they're very pious, her own worshippers. So they call her mother, the mother goddess. But they don't know that avidhi purvakam, their worship is actually meant for Krishna. All worship is meant for Krishna, Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana. So by worshipping Durga in the wrong way, then she is obliged to give them this result ultimately. She may give them facilities for material enjoyment, but material enjoyment always turns into suffering.
Uh,
No, the atheists, indirectly they're worshipping the goddess by worshipping matter, but there are many manifestations of worship of the female principle, or the goddess, apart from goddess Durga, Aman, as she's generally known in this part of the world. There are many minor deities, both male and female. Sometimes in a village, there's the local god, maybe male or female. But all these gods and goddesses, they are, power is there, there's no doubt. They have power. And they can be supplicated for deriving benedictions, for deriving protection. But whatever power they have, that subtle power, that's all ultimately derived from Radha and Krishna. At the present time, in the modern world, there's a very prominent theory called feminism, which states that men have been predominating the world for so long, now it's time for women to be equal or more. And which actually goes against the natural order, because the natural order is that Krishna is the supreme, and Radha is called Radha because Anaya Radhita Nunam Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi, because she is the best worshipper of him. So, by love she dominates him, but she is by nature subordinate to him. So in this material world, which is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, but it's not that because in the spiritual world the male is predominant and the female is subordinate, that in the material world we might think, well, in the material world it should be around the other way. No, it's the same, but the perverted reflection comes in as much as we, the conditioned souls, take the role of male and female. And the perversion comes that instead of pure love, there is competition, envy, spirit of exploitation. Many feminists, they worship the goddess. They have the idea of the ultimate goddess. This is very widespread all over the world. That they say, no, all these years they've worshipped God the Father in the Christian conception. So now we're going to have God the Mother. So they'll worship the female God. And if we see different cultures in history that are known to our archaeologists, people who dig up bones, like dogs, they dig up bones. But dogs, they dig up bones, but archaeologists, they don't just dig them up, they subject them to some forensic or chemical analysis, and then they say, well, this bone is so many years old, and therefore dinosaurs lived at such and such a time, and they come up with various theories. They're speculative, dog-like activities. So, according to the archaeologists and anthropologists, there have been many cults of worship of very powerful goddess throughout history. So these are all manifestations of worship of Durga. People, they intuit that there is, they may intuit that there is a very powerful god, but they may also see all powerful nature as being very powerful. And nature is female. Female principle, because nature gives birth. It's interesting that that term nature is there in so many different languages throughout the world. It's not very clearly understood. In the Vedic knowledge, it's understood. Prakriti, the word nature, refers to the, in this material world, it refers to the material ingredients. Bhumirapanalo vayo kangmano buddhir evacha ahankara iti angme bhina prakritir ashtadha. The eight material ingredients, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. They're the ingredients of nature. And therefore we have mountains and hills and valleys and flatland and sea and wind and trees. They're all combinations and permutations of material nature. But nature also means swabhav, or one's mentality. So nature is not, it's not just dull matter, but everything is, there's consciousness is present everywhere in everything. And many people, even though they're not very religious or very, not even very cultured or not very educated, they appreciate that in the mountain, there's the spirit of the mountain, there's the spirit of the trees, the spirit of the forest. Srila Prabhupada notes this, that even the uncultured, uneducated, aborigine people, they worship a big mountain, they feel the presence of spirit there. So actually it's a fact. Spirit is everywhere and in everything. The rivers, we say Mother Ganga, Mother Kaveri, is not just some chemicals flowing down, but she is manifest. In this, the Mother Ganga, she's manifest as a river. She's a personality, female personality. Ganga nourishes the whole of North India, the Ganga plain. Just like a mother, she nourishes. From the mother, you get the water for agriculture and for everything else, all our needs. Sometimes she overflows and floods also. She may become angry also. So in this way, nature, Mother Nature, seemed very powerful. What is that force? No scientist has explained, nor will they ever explain, be able to explain, how it is that the seed of a tree manifests into a huge tree. You see, the banyan seeds are very small, but they can manifest as a huge tree. And they say, no, we can explain. You see, this in the seed there's this chemical and it interacts with that chemical. But what is the potency? What is it that makes all this go on? One science, popular science writer, I can't remember, but he spoke about the fire. What he said, we know the equations to explain so many phenomena in the universe, but what is the fire in the equations? What is the life? What's making it all go on? So the fire, or the spirit, everything is animated by spirit. Behind matter, there's spirit. Maya dhyakshena prakriti hi. Behind this prakriti, behind the material nature, is Krishna. He oversees everything. But those who are not so advanced to see Krishna, then they can see they can appreciate the spirits. Maybe good spirits, bad spirits. Many people get stuck at that level. They think, well, nature is spiritual. There are many people who think like that in the Western world, who think that, well, just to be in nature, that's spiritual. But they don't see, because they compared to the city life with all the anxiety and competition, just to be in nature, that's, they think, well, now that's spiritual. But it's not spiritual. Spiritual means satchit ananda. But the material, in the material life one may live very comfortably in nature, but there's birth, death, old age and disease. That is the nature of this material world. So this goddess worship, or seeing all nature as a goddess, or seeing different manifestations, rivers, trees, as manifestations of nature, is very powerful. Mother Nature, very powerful. That example, the seed is the seed transforms into a tree. The mother, the goddess, nature, she gives us food, she gives us light, she gives us all our necessities. So nature is seen as the mother who nurtures us. And women in Vedic culture and in many cultures also, they're appreciated for they bring forth life. That this, it's a great miracle. We see so many miracles around us all the time. How it is that from the mother's body comes the child. She brings forth life. Of course, she doesn't understand how she's doing it herself, but she brings forth the body. Every great person in the world obviously had a mother. We don't ask about Napoleon's mother, Einstein's mother, Rajiv Gandhi's mother. Well, maybe ask about her. Behind every great man, there's a woman. That's the saying. We often think, well, that means the wife, but the mother. Mother is the gives birth. So they're very powerful, mystical energy is seen as the goddess of the whole universe. Gives life. All the life comes from the goddess. So there are many people who worship the goddess, but they don't see that behind that is the supreme male. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shaktire Ka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bibharati Durga Ichhana Rupam Api Yasya Chacheshta Te Sa Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The original male is there, and on his order, Durga, she oversees the world where there is creation, maintenance and destruction. She's present in all of that. But behind everything, ultimately, is Krishna. So the proper understanding of all these points brings us to Krishna. An improper understanding, then we get a lot of trouble. This material world is full of a lot of trouble. That's the beginning of spiritual understanding. Or we can begin to enter into spiritual understanding if we understand that this material world is very troublesome. So what's the basic principle of that trouble? The basic principle is the attraction between male and female. That's the basic principle that runs on the world. So if we understand this properly, then we come to serve Lakshmi Narayana, Radha Krishna. If we don't understand it properly, then we're entangled in this material world. There are some philosophers also, they speak about balance, Chinese yin-yang, male-female principles, or in Buddhism, the middle way, just try and balance everything. Impersonalists, also, they just want to see everything's in harmony. But it's the very nature of male and female interaction that it's not perfectly harmonious. There's harmony and contradiction also. And that's where the rasa comes between Radha and Krishna. That the contrariness of love, the unpredictability of it all, that gives the bliss. So the whole idea too, balance everything, but it doesn't work. The nature of this material world also, you can't balance everything. The yin and the yang, the male and the female principle, they're never completely balanced. But the understanding that the two are, what is the interaction between them, between Radha and Krishna? If we can understand that, then we'll no longer try to ourselves either enjoy this material world or try to balance it out. We just forget it altogether. Come to Radha and Krishna. So in this material world, the male and female interaction is very dangerous. As Srila Prabhupada states in a purport in the second canto, the female form is there to destroy the spiritual advancement of the male. Female is the representation of Maya in the mind of the man who has the idea to enjoy this material world, which means almost everyone in this world. So the interaction of male and female in the spiritual existence is most glorious, and in this material world is most dangerous. It has to be regulated. Therefore, marriage, it must be marriage, strictly followed rules. Even within family life, male and female, they don't interact freely. There are many restrictions, even for married people. There's some misconception. Marriage, okay. Now I got my license, I can do what I like. But it's license means that you're granted, just like a driving license is given because it's understood that you know the rules. The rules are there for the safety of yourself and everyone. Therefore, you're allowed. You're allowed to drive a car because you know the rules and you follow them. And if you don't follow the rule, if you don't know the rules and don't follow the rules, then it's very dangerous and the license is taken away. So license is there for family life. But that means the rules to follow. It regulates a dangerous situation. Driving in a car is very dangerous. Unless one even if one sticks to all the rules, still there's always danger. But if one follows the rules, one is more protected. So rules and regulations are there within family life to protect us from the danger of male and female interaction. And if male and female interaction is there outside of family life, then it's a total disaster, both for the individuals who indulge in it and for the whole society. In respectable society, if there is illicit sex, it's a great stain on the whole community in which that takes place. But now in modern life, they want to say, it's all right, you just do. You feel like it, then do it. Which means the whole society is very contaminated. And in such a society, there's very little chance of making any spiritual advancement. Because the whole basis of material existence, the attraction between male and female, it's not controlled, it's indulged in freely. And so we become more and more entangled in material life. So in Vedic culture, the concept of the material goddess Durga, and there are other goddesses also, just the river goddesses, Ganga. They've imagined Bharat Mata. You can imagine anything you like. Also Saraswati, goddess of learning. That doesn't mean going to college and getting a MBA or something like that, but Veda Vidya and all the arts, especially music, she pleases Krishna by these arts. Saraswati Krishna Priya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's simple to understand. She's very dear to Krishna. So the goddess is the proper or full understanding is there in Vedic culture. Now, if we see the Western religions, or that means Christianity, Islam, at least they're west of, they originated west of India. Then they have very strong emphasis on God the Father, or Allah is not father, not female, but although they deny any personality, they deny that he has any personality, but nevertheless his personality comes off as very male, they emphasize on his power, his punishment, and God the Father, God the Son, but not God the Mother. It's a very male emphasis. And because they don't have knowledge of the female principle, the soothing, nourishing, nurturing, these are the words that feminists use, but they're not soothing or nourishing or nurturing, they're just horrible. Because they envy men. Because in the Christianity and Islam they don't have this, they have a religion lopsided, it's not balanced. Because they don't understand, they don't worship Sri. They don't know that God has his female counterpart. It's not just all male. So they emphasize more on fire and brimstone, burning in hell, punishment, all this kind of thing. So, in Vaishnavism, we understand there is the supreme male Krishna, but he himself is tempered by the supreme female, Radha, Lakshmi, Narayana. So both things are there. If we try to understand Krishna without understanding his female principle, then we'll only get an official form of God, but not the who he fully is. He wants that we love him, and the exemplar of that love is Radha, and our love for him is channeled through her, and she showers on us. We can be blessed by her with the love that she has. If we get a tiny particle of the love that she has, then our love for Krishna is perfect and complete. But not knowing that, if we only emphasize the male side, then we get religion without love, only with punishment and rules, and then trying to conquer others, convert them by the sword, not by love. Of course, in Christianity they have the idea also opening hospitals and schools, although we don't find that Jesus opened any hospitals or schools. Jesus himself spoke about the hell with the wailing and gnashing of teeth. He also emphasized, be good to your fellow men. So that side is there also. But they don't have as part of their philosophy or understanding the female side of God. But then you see in Catholic Christianity, they emphasize so much Mary, the Mother of God, which is not part of their theology. It's not anything to do with anything that Jesus taught. But that feeling is there to worship the female principle also. But they don't know what it properly is. Therefore they give so much emphasis to Mary, the Mother of God. But that offering to her, worship of her, is an expression of the natural tendency of the soul to worship Lakshmi Narayana, Radha Krishna, Sita Ram. In Islam, there's no such thing because it's very impersonal. Although they do, some of them put a lot of, or they have a great feeling, I don't know, but respect or admiration for Ayesha, who was one of the wives of Muhammad. But that's something. Recognition of the female principle is there. So all this worship of the goddess without understanding who she is, that should be rectified. Therefore the Vaishnava Acharyas, they come and explain this. You love your mother, you love nature, but see who the Supreme Mother is. She's with the Supreme Father. So they give knowledge of who actually we're meant to take shelter in. We take shelter in our mother and father, but they cannot protect us. Balasyaneha sharanam pitaro narsimha. The parents ultimately cannot protect the children. They're supposed to do their best. They're supposed to protect, but ultimately they can't protect. The child may be very well cared for by the parents, but the child may just die at any time, beyond their control. To their best capacity, they try to give protection, but ultimately they can't protect at all. So we should look to those who can actually protect us. Radha and Krishna come to their shelter for protection. So ignorance of this binds us in this material world. Those who worship Mother Nature, they're being bound in this material world by doing so, because they become more and more attracted to or feeling affinity with the material nature. So that same propensity to worship God the Father, Mother Nature, just we have to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Father, Radha is the Supreme Mother. Pitahamasya Jagata Mata Dhati Pitama. Krishna, he says, I'm the father and the mother of the universe. So the mother means, of course, we don't generally speak of Mother Radha because her mood is one of very intimate loving with Krishna, but she has that role in relationship with her devotees also. Mother Lakshmi, we say. Jagan Mata Lakshmi, Jagan Mata Sita, Jagan Mata Devi Durga also. So, the mother of all. So, this understanding is the best understanding, complete understanding, that Goddess Shri, she nurtures us. The material mother nurtures the body of the child by feeding, by giving her own breast milk, and then feeding, cooking, various foods. Material nature nurtures us by giving us food, water, air. So, and by worshipping the material goddess, Durga, or her various manifestations, we are praying for nourishment of the body. But we should pray to Shri, to Lakshmi, to nurture us spiritually, so that we can, spiritual nourishment means we get more and more attraction for serving Krishna, and which means less and less attraction to this material world, to this material body, to the very concept of enjoying in this material world. So full understanding is to worship Radha and Krishna. Materialists, they worship Shiva Shakti. Shiva is worshipped as a linga with the yoni of Parvati. The two are together. The Shiva, the linga, or the penis with the yoni, the vagina. So from their sexual combination, all the living beings are injected in the material world. That is their function. Their sex life is to inject all the living beings within this material world. So they are worshipped by materialistic people who don't understand that Shiva and Parvati, they themselves, are great worshippers of Vishnu. And that Durga, she is the shadow of the original spiritual energy, who is Lakshmi. And then Lakshmi, the original Lakshmi, is Radha. So, and this is just some discussion we can understand from the teachings of our acharyas, Ramanuja Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's given us Srimad Bhagavatam, by which we can understand everything in the world and everything beyond the world. All these points we should understand. We may be bewildered. We go and see different people are doing so many different kinds of worship. It's all meant for Krishna. But people don't know. Here in Tamil Nadu, there's the Our Lady of, what is it, Velkini, something like that. Velankani. So the Hindus go there also, not only the Catholics. Probably all Christians go, not only Catholics are supposed to, anyway, worship Mary. The Protestants aren't supposed to do that. But the Hindus go, they see another manifestation of Durga. They probably don't think very theologically about it at all. But there's that tendency. That's why Hindus, they'll worship. We can join in the Muslim festivals and the Christian festivals. They don't see, because it's all a manifestation of the one ultimate God. Well, that's true, but we should know who that ultimate God is. That is Krishna. And who is that? Krishna. Krishna is completely known as Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. We take shelter of Krishna with Radha. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? No question. All right then, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna means Radha Krishna. Everything is complete in the Hare Krishna mantra, as Haripada Prabhu knows very well. Therefore he's always chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And the next meeting is supposed to be here at 4:30 with bhajans. And then at 5 o'clock, I have to give another lecture. And then we're all going out for Harinam Sankirtan also, to going around the temple, around the main temple, to the small temple is there of Jagannath, said to be deities there worshipped by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was here for 4 months. So we'll go there. And in all this time here, you have to find time also to go. I presume you've all done that. You have to go and take darshan in the Ranganatha Swami. Did everyone go yet? Did you all go for darshan there? Don't neglect to do that. You have to attend all the programs and go for darshan. Having come here, you have to go for darshan there at least once. I came a day early, so I had time. Actually, we came in the evening about 8 o'clock, and we just walked in, and immediately means in 10 minutes, we had darshan in the free line, which I never experienced before. Sometimes it takes longer than that if you're in the 250 rupees line. So it's next morning we went to the Tayar Sannidhi, that Sri, and then just in front of that there's Vedanta Deshika and the Shingha temple, then to Ramanuja. So there's so many smaller temples within the whole complex, but apart from darshan of Ranganatha Swami, actually the proper system is first we should go to Sri. So that, and Ramanuja. If you don't go to any others, go to these three. Take darshan of Ramanuja Acharya. And that always, rarely is there a major rush in the Ramanuja Sannidhi. At the Tayar Sannidhi, sometimes there is. Sometimes you have to wait. So please go. Anyway, we're going out this afternoon. So maybe after the after we do Sankirtan there, you can go into the main temple and take darshan, if you haven't already done so. I stayed here a few years ago, and we were staying in Kaveri Naga, which is where next to the Kaveri, where we went for Sankirtan and the other day. So I'd walk up every day to the temple for darshan in the morning. So I was here for about 3 weeks, something like that. So by the time you walk up, stand in line, come back, then most of the 16 rounds are there. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Narayana ki jai. Sri Radha Krishna ki jai. Hare Krishna.